वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter Number 2, Text Number 15. Priyavrata Nama Sutaha Manoho Swayambhavasya Yaha Kasya Agnidraha Tataha Nabihi Rishabaha Tatsuta Smritaha Priyavrato Namasuto Manoho Svayambhuvasya Yaha Tasyagnidrastasto Nabhir Rishabhastata Sutaha Smritaha Priyavrata Maharaj Priyavrata Nama by the name Sutaha the son Manoho Svayambhuvasya of Svayambhu Manu Yaha who Tasya his Agnidraha son was Agnidra Tataha from him Agnidra Nabi King Nabi Rishabha Lord Rishabdev Tatsutaha his son Smritaha is so remembered. Translation. Swayambhu Manu had a son named Maharaj Priyavrata, and among Priyavrata's son was Agnidra. From Agnidra was born Nabi, whose son was known as Rishabdev. Purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The genealogical background of the sons of Rishabdev is given in this verse. Verses are describing the genealogical order all the way from Swayambhu Manu in order to come to the descendants like nine Yogendras who were the exalted personalities. So even though there is no purport or elaborate purport is this, but in the onset of creation, and especially when the human being is begotten as the sons of Maharaj Swayambhu Manu and Shatrupa, the purpose of describing the genealogy in Srimad Bhagavatam takes a little precedence and for an important purpose to describe who are the pure devotees in this, who are the incarnations of the Lord. Otherwise, what is the use to describe? In other words, in modern time, even though people are so much inclined for dynasty, and in India especially, or in the royal blood elsewhere also, the genealogy, let's for example, the Queen in England, you know, and some kingdoms in the Europe also, still inclined to get into the royalty, the royal blood, inheritance, and there are so many fights. In Kali Yuga, of course, nothing works. But these descriptions are of utmost priority, and that pages and pages of Srimad Bhagavatam is filled with this description. One devotee in New York, he put up a huge wall chart of this genealogy, starting from Swayambhu Manu. And it contained almost over 2,000 names. You know, and some activity of this dynasty, I mean descendants in the dynasty, have been described. So you can imagine how many pages must have been filled with. But regardless, if Srimad Bhagavatam gives an importance to this description, there must be some transcendental nature, the purpose of the dynasties and description is. So it should be revealed. The purpose of describing the dynasty should be transcendental in nature. Otherwise, why should it have importance in Srimad Bhagavatam? What we see here that descendants of this Rishabhdev will be 9 Yogendras. Rishabhdev was empowered incarnation, partial presentation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who showed the way of austerity. The importance of this austerity is to always remain in purified state of existence. Rishabhdev was able to tell his own sons that no father instructs. Generally, under bodily conception of life, where do we get such instruction? Because even the parents are ignorant, so naturally their children will be also ignorant. But Rishabhdev taught, as a father, the first and foremost obligation of taking a human birth is to know the self distinct from the body and the purpose of the life is to get to the Brahma Sukha Tvanantam, the happiness found in the transcendental life. Brahma Sukha says, Nayam Deha Deha Bhajam Nruloke Kastan Kaman Arhate Vida Bhujaniye Tapo Divyam Puttakayena Shuddhe Tasmat Brahma Saukhyam Tvanantam. My dear boys, we are not these bodies, neither we are the bhogis of the body. Bhogis means enjoyer of the bodies. Nayam Deha means we are not this body, but Deha Bhajam. Deha Bhaji means one who wants to simply enjoy the bodies and bodily impulses. It says, Kastana Karman Arhate Vid Bhujaniye. The karma, you know, human beings have to go through so much trouble to fulfill their karma, the desire, especially sex life. They have to go through so much. But arhate vid bhujaniye, they are easily enjoyable by the stool-eater hogs and dogs. So, what a, you know, gulf of difference is for human being has been described. So, better tapodivyam. You should perform the austerity for attaining the divine qualities. By achieving the divinity, shuddhe tasmad brahma saukyam tvana, we get purified. But not only that, by such purification and divine qualities developed, you will be able to enjoy brahma sukha anantam. Unlimited brahma sukha. It doesn't mean brahma sayujya is giving ananta sukha. No. One may think that, oh, if I merge into the Brahman existence, you know, I'll be the happiest person. But nine yogendras, they elaborately describes the purpose of the Brahma Sayujya, the ultimate that you become harmonized with the Absolute Truth, which is divine, and by service. So in each and every descendant of the Rishabdev further down, that there will be an exalted personality in devotional service to Lord Krishna. Such descriptions are very, very important to uphold the dharma. In the beginning, they were not these Mayavadis, they were impersonalist is there, but Mayavadis were not there. Mayavadis are recent manufacturing. After Shankaracharya, Mayavad started, and it's hardly about 800 years. But it took the world into grief of such ignorance that so much proliferation in the religious system became that the whole world is engulfed in Mayavad. Prabhupada said that. Mayavad is such bewildering. You can imagine the potency of Adi Shankara, Lord Shiva, in deluding the humanity is somehow or another, you know, just believer, remain believer and enjoy the material world simultaneously. So under that pretense of, you know, instead of Brahma Sukha, the pretentious happiness will come and even the big religions, you know, the Christianity is so much into the Mayavad philosophy that they want to convert anybody and everybody to make them happy in this life by giving material assets. That's why there are so many conversions. But similarly, competitiveness of Islam is also there. But there is also so much Mayavad. Nothing is found in the pure state. Interpretation, interpolation, and then it is virtually, you know, we see that in Kali Yuga there will be no dynasties. Dynasties are in decline. There are rudimentary dynasties, you know, in India, all the kings became bereft of their privy purses. Indira Gandhi took away, you know. So no royalty or royal descendancy is there. You know, monarchism is not there. England also faced the same thing, maybe a little later. You know, so many countries are still putting Queen's head on their bills and notes, you know. But what is the value? As soon as she dies, I think the face will be also erased. So we don't see the reality, but the reality has a purpose. If we remember the other instruction of Rishabhdev is also pertaining to not becoming a guru or a king or a parent if we are not able to save the dependent from the clutches of death. Guru na sasya, svajana na sasya, rajana sasya, janani na sasya, pitana sasya, dyadyapina mochayet samupetyam mrityam. Samupetyam mrityam. The imminent danger of death, if we are not able to save our dependent from the imminent danger of death, then one should not become the so-called caretaker. Previously, like Rishabhdev, they were commanding the children. Who can command the children? The grown-up children especially. Who can command the children? We see even King Yayati was commanding children, you know, but they were grown-up. He wanted to exchange their youth for his old age. There was a command. But Rishabhdev on the Satya Yoga, in Kali Yuga, Yayati was there. And Yayati did not get good response from all the children except one, that was Puru, who was able to. So we understand that the royalty was commanding by the necessity to keep the glory of the heritage or the blood intact. Because after all, they are representative of Krishna. It's called Naradev. Naradev. The king is called Naradev. He should be worshipped as good as God. But he is a representative of God. Rajarshi, Naradev. These are the titles that they will be getting. You heard the recent happenings in Nepal, you know, they were dethroned, the Maoist government, you know, dethroned the king, but they were not Naradevas, you know. So it's not the moods are affecting, but it's Mayavad that is affecting. Mayavad is a disguise of ignorance under so-called knowledge. But knowledge is so mixed up, like a khichdi, then cannot, you know, find out anything. So the idea is that the importance of dynasty has been described. Otherwise, what is the use to describe? If there is no representative mode. But regardless, pure devotional service is something else, and that is going to work within the Kali Yuga against Mayava. Against Mayava. We are not supposed to associate with Mayava. But simultaneously, if a Mayavadi gets association of a pure devotee, then his life will be saved. That is also taught. So there are so many situations are arising in the Kali Yuga in the terms of getting pure devotion, that it is Krishna's blessings, direct blessings. You know. after Shankara, Ramanuja was the staunch enemy of Mayavad. And what potency he has shown to establish the Vaishnavism, you know. And Srila Prabhupada is the real staunch enemy of today, of Mayavad. Mm. Only these two institutions, Ramanuja's Sampradaya and ISKCON, they are going parallel in that direction. And Srila Prabhupada took up a very good bold step to eradicate Mayavad by introducing Krishna conscious philosophy. So, in previous cantos, the dynasties are very well described, and Prabhupada showed each dynasty has a particular significance in representing the Lord. So, there is nothing like a boring reading matter. Oh, what do I know? Why do I have to have these names and that name? Because it is our lineage. It is our lineage. At least the lineage in Vedic living is more important because it's the cradle of civilization. So it has to be brought forward. Maharaj Priyavrata, he had two sons, Uttanapad, Uttanapad was the father of Dhruva Maharaj. And these dynasties are also important, you know, because under the descendant, and then many others came who were doing lot of austerities. For example, Maharaj Prithu was also coming in that line, and line of Dhruva Maharaj, Uttanapada and Dhruva Maharaj and others. Then Prachin Barhishan was there. Prachir Barhi is also another name of Barhishan. But he had 10 sons who became Prachetas. The father became so much absorbed in performing ritualistic activities like fire sacrifices and even Pashu Homams. Right? And even though he was king, he was performing all these ritualistic, he was promoting ritualistic activities, but Narad Muni had to come and put him on the right track. But his sons, the 10 sons Prachinbari, when they were commanded by the father, okay, now you become Prajapatis. It's not, get married and start begetting. No. To become Prajapati, they understood such a heavy activity is there that all of the 10 went to do austerity, perform austerity. To become Prajapati, do you require austerity? No. So you can imagine from that point onwards, and if we compare the so-called begetting like cats and dogs, Srila Prabhupada said, what a gulf of difference is there. In Kali Yuga, they simply want to beget like cats and dogs. But when they are supposed to be Prajapatis, so much is required to become austere that they went in the water where Lord Shiva was coming. And Shiva appreciates. Lord Shiva says, "Oh, I know who you are and where are you going. I will give you all the benedictions. And you have to worship the Supreme Lord. I will give you all the mantras. Take it. I am very happy. You will be successful." The Prachatas, they were the Prachapatis. And they performed such heavy austerity to beget varieties of life on this earth. So, it is having some significance to understand that the inherent order of the Lord is being carried. Even we see why this material world has been created. This material world has been created to populate with all the living entities who became rebellious against the Lord's desire. Then they have to be given space. So therefore Brahma is also asking, for the same reason, the energy to create. Brahma is asking creative potency from the Lord, that, "My dear Lord, I want to do your work. You have already created. Now the living entities are to be given." So the first living entity, Brahma, has to take up the task. What a risky business. And what did he do first? He went to do austerity. For 100 celestial years, he performed the austerity in order to become ready. Kali Yuga and the Mayavad have destroyed all this fact. See, the purpose of even, or the doctrines of religions, man-made religion, how much they have been polluted in different aspects than this one and one important aspect. So, in Krishna consciousness, we are reminded that even reading this dynasty, there is the purpose to reveal the divinity, the divine nature of those descendants in the dynasty. And they should be appreciated that they are the ones who are carrying forward and simultaneously fulfilling the purpose of increasing the population. While here in Kali Yuga they are trying to decrease the population by extermination or restricting by whatever the means, in lot of ways. Because their sense gratification is in jeopardy. They have to share the wealth. There is another pretense in spreading Christianity. They want to share their wealth by making him a brother in Christianity. So this is called conversion. Want to share the wealth. Because they think they have abundance, so they can give and increase the their number in the faith. So the Muslims are also doing. They provide and they share the wealth. Most of the Middle East petroleum wealth is being shared, even in America, to convert them into Muslim, and they are being converted. They say Muslim religion is the fastest religion growing in America. So it is not that they are violent people. It is not something else they want to create. So, see, otherwise why should we be increasing? But people are rebellious anyway. They do not know the purpose to please the Lord. There is no devotional or divine flavor in their religion. It is subordinate or it is obscure, it doesn't come out. So here we are reminded something of a most important function by reading this dynasty. It is not a blunt statement, you know, that, oh, this guy begot that guy in turn begot that guy, and in this way. But these are all exalted personalities which, and exaltation is depending upon the cultivation of divinity to carry out the order of the Lord. You know. It is also said that when human being is endowed the same creative potency to increase the progeny, that the first and foremost obligation was to, in ideal grahastha life, that he has to dedicate himself to the will of the Lord, and he has to progressively develop that through the bona fide guru. You know, he has to be conversant all the time about the progressive aspect. Progression means he is going to make his family expanded, that is also a progress. He will be earning for maintaining that is also the progress. He will be also becoming knowledgeable and by experience. Everything is progressing. But unless and until one has the central point of understanding that it is a God-given duty, then it will become progress, it will become meaningful, otherwise not. So in this way we come to such a understanding that reading about the dynasties, we always look for a particular character that might become our hero, that we can follow him, that becomes an ideal. Such devotees are, you know, pretty rare. So, why otherwise the only exalted personalities were there in the beginning of the creation? But Srimad Bhagavatam describes the modern day heroes also. Just like Chanakya and Chandragupta, they will be coming and they will be inheriting. You know. It describes that they will be influenced by Buddhism too. You know. So, you can see. But Adi Shankara, you know, is taking so much risk to establish the Vedic authority by spreading Mayavad. But he had no intention to spread the Mayavad. He gave enough instruction, like Bhaja Govindam, to his disciples. But his disciples added each verse and it has a diluted meaning to original 12 verses that Adi Shankara gave. It's called Dvadasha Panjarika Stotra. Dvadasha means 12 verses are there. But each of the Shankaracharya's disciple that came subsequently added a verse or two, verse or two. Now you find about 23 verses. And these verses have a completely deviated opinion than Adi Shankara's. They became obsessed by Maya. So, anyway, the Mayavad has been destroying. Mayavad is an agent of Kali. It's an agent of Kali. So under the pretense of a religion, it is permeated everywhere in every corner. You know, Kali is very clever. Where to go? He can corrupt even religion. So we see Srila Prabhupada is a staunch enemy of Mayavad. We kick on their face, he said. We kick on their face. So, I mean, what an importance of spirituality, you know. Well, because there is no purport, I'm trying to put up a background. So hopefully we may get an elaborate purport to describe in following verses. This is the genealogy spoken by Narada Muni to Vasudeva, and he's trying to remind something upon, because Vasudeva was very keen to ask him certain questions, you know. So let's see. Vasudeva is telling that, my dear Lord, you are always true to your vow. Please instruct me clearly so that by your mercy I may easily free myself from the material existence, which is full of many dangers and keep us constantly bound in fear. So, Sukadeva Goswami interjects and tells, O King, Devarshi Narada was pleased by questions of highly intelligent Vasudeva because they suggested the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They reminded Narada of Lord Krishna. Thus Narada replied to Vasudeva as follows. And Narada Muni describing then how the pure devotional service to the Supreme Lord is rendered, and it is so potent that simply by hearing such glorification of the Supreme Personality of unparalleled activities, they infuse the potency in the heart of a hearer. So, just to explain the devotional service of the Lord, sages have related, ancient history of conversation between the great soul of King Videha and sons of Rishabdev's sons. So, Nimi Maharaj was the king of Videha at that time. But just to give the starting the genealogy from Manu, Swayambhava Manu, today's verse, that Rishabdev has been given. Do you want me to read at least up to where there is no purport? So, otherwise tomorrow we'll have to repeat or something. Text number 16, I said, Sri Rishabhadeva is accepted as an expansion of the Supreme Lord Vasudeva. He incarnated in this world to propagate those religious principles that lead living entities to ultimate liberation. He had 100 sons, all perfect in Vedic knowledge. Of the 100 sons of Rishabhadev, the eldest, Bharat, was completely devoted to Lord Narayan. It is because of Bharata's fame that this planet is now celebrated as the great Bharatavarsha. King Bharat rejected this material world, considered all types of material pleasure temporary and useless. Leaving his beautiful young wife and family, he worshipped Lord Hari by severe austerities and attained the abode of the Lord after three lifetimes. You know, the three lifetimes of Bharat Maharaj. Second life was in a deer and third as Jada Bharat. Okay. And there is a complete narration of the three lives of Bharat as king, as deer, and the exalted Paramahansa, devotee of the Lord, is given in fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. That's already been dealt with. Then also, the nine of the remaining sons of Rishabdev became the rulers of the nine islands of Bharatavarsha, and they exercised complete sovereignty over this planet. 81 sons became twice born brahmanas and helped initiate the Vedic path of fruitive sacrifices, that is karmakanda. So, nine dvipas or nine islands ruled by the nine sons of Rishabdev are nine varshas, Jambudvipa, namely Bharat, Kinnara, Havi, Kuru, Hiranamaya, Ramyak, Ilavarta, and Bhadrashva, and Ketumar. Then, okay, the remaining nine sons, that will be the talk beginning, and this nine sons will be celebrated as nine Yogendras. And they are very exalted in instructing Nimi Maharaj. So, that's the full study. But this is the general narration, how the descendants of Rishabdev and their teaching is so important. So, anybody has any question? Yeah.
But you said that he just gave up everything and became a very good devotee.
Yes, but he was attached at the time of death to a little deer. And he remembered. So, one has to protect the devotional service so carefully. Only by undivided devotional service can I be known as I am. Bharat Maharaj could not put the undivided devotion. His devotional service was divided. Ana anya bhakti. Not to the deer. Why should to the deer? To become attached with the body means you will require another body. Not this body will be capable to go. A slight deviation by the body requires another body. You can see slight deviation or indirect affiliation of the body. Even Uma, before she was Parvati, Uma had to give up her body because she thought that her father, Daksha, is an offender of Shiva. So, the body she received from her father is also an offender. Because it deviated her from her service to the Supreme Personality of God, and whose representation was Lord Shiva. It's a transformed. She did not agree with Lord Shiva. And see how much price she has to give up the body, and then she will be liberated. Lord Brahma did too. Even though he is the creator, he created Vak, a beautiful daughter. He got enticed by her beauty and ran after him in the onset of creation. What to speak? But this is not in this millennium, previous millennium. Maitreya Muni is describing that we have heard that in previous millennium this thing happened, and Brahma had to be chastised. Brahma had to be chastised by Kumaras and other his sons whom he mentally conceived. So this was a wrong thing. And so he said, well, I defiled my body. So Brahma chose to quit that body. You know, and then there was a suspended period till Brahma was given another body by the Lord. So in this way things happen. So Jadabharat was the third life, because he remembered even in the dear body that he is the spirit soul subservient to the Lord, but he could not express devotional service to the Lord in the deer's body. So therefore he was given an appropriate body to express pure devotion again. So he took birth as a son of a Brahman, right? But he decided to become deaf and dumb. So he was acting like that. You know? And he tolerated all the abuse and insults of his brothers after his father passed away. And somehow or other he was saved by even Kali. And when an opportune moment came, he instructed Rahugan, King Rahugan, who became his disciple, and showed the path. So even in liberated state, that he thought not to open my mouth, just play deaf and dumb so people will ignore him. What an austere thing. Even though a person who is knowing how to speak, he listens everything, but he doesn't want to employ these two senses in materialistic activity. So in this way, in the third life, he had to pass. Then when he gave up, he went back home, back to God. Slight mistake, right? Anything else? No, no, they were envious Rakshasas. They don't have a philosophy except to usurp others' property, including their wives. They are envious people. Even though born in Brahman family, he was worshipper of Lord Shiva to destroy the Vedic principle. He was so much puffed up. What kind of knowledge he has? That Vedic knowledge doesn't allow us to surrender to the Supreme Lord is atheism. Staunch atheist means staunch enemy of the Lord.
As you said, Prabhupada always is Mayavadi because he was profiling Mahaprabhu. Mayavadi Sunivi Hoi Sadhana.
Right? It is for the devotees to protect themselves, not to come under the influence of Mayavadi. You know, because there's a deep down enviousness. Against Lord Krishna. So why to associate with them? Generally they take support of impersonalism to air their view. But behind the impersonalism, they had some ulterior motive.
Envy.
Yeah, they want to become God. An honest impersonalist is an authorized person. All right? He doesn't want to become God, but he wants to annihilate himself by merging into Brahman. So Brahma Sukha is, you know, their goal. But the Mayavadis want to go beyond that. That they want to kill the personality and become God themselves. So they may tell you, okay, I'm inviting Lord Krishna tomorrow. Okay, I'll become Krishna tomorrow. I'm inviting in me, Ram, Shiva, I can become anything. Such chamatkars have been shown by some personalities, they say. And they say, wow, look at that. And Prabhupada says, who? Gadadhar Chatterjee. He used to call. This is Gadadhar Chatterjee. He calls himself Ras. Prabhupada can chastise this Mahavali. He said, they have destroyed the Vedic religion. They have destroyed. Otherwise, Prabhupada said, 5,000 years back, the whole world was following one religion, that is Vedic religion. Maharaj Yudhisthira was crowned the emperor of the whole world. So during his time, everything was Vedic. So you can see who is the beginner of Mayavad. Mayavadam Ashatsastram. Prachanna Gaudam Gudam Baudham. That is in Padma Purana, they are saying that, my dear Devi, I will come in the form of a Brahmana Rupena Kalina. I will come as a young Brahman boy in the Kali Yuga and I will introduce the Mayavada. But Asat Shastram. Asat means? False. Shastram. False doctrine. But it is Prachanna means it is covered up under Guda Bauddham. Deeply it is like Buddha Dharma, means atheist. Atheism. It is covered under the disguise of atheism, I will spread this Mayavada. So, Adi Shankara had to do the job and everybody says, wow, it's very glorious. And they want to attach his Because he became famous, we want to become famous. Become a Vedantist without any goal of loving God. Can you imagine what a difference between appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu amongst the Mayavadis? It's great. So, and he can convert the Mayavadis. He can convert Pathans, the Muslims. He can convert anybody. Too bad British did not arrive during that time. Otherwise, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could have converted him then too.
Prakashanand.
Yeah, that is Mayavadi, Prakashanand. But British did not come. They came late. But they came and established in Gaudadesh themselves. So they were attracted like moth. They landed in Calcutta and started East India Company there. And it was Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who started preaching in English to them about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So how this is coming, and the historical revelations, these are, attacks on Mayavad. Okay, thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai.